Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. It's Arbor Day. Great time to talk about the care of our trees and our shrubs and our other woody ornamentals. I know last year's drought had had a big effect on our trees and many of our shrubs. And so I'm glad to have Laura Joel with us. Laura is a professor, extension specialist for woody ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. Here to answer your questions. And Laura, thanks for coming by again.
Thanks, Larry. Glad to be here.
Really appreciate it. And, you know, last year we did have that terrible year. Oh. Right? That was tough on trees and shrubs, wasn't
it? Yeah. Last year was the worst possible year to grow plants. I mean, we had that, you know, summer-like temperatures in March, followed by our typical April freezing temperatures, and so many things. Their flowers were killed. A lot of the apple growers and cherry growers across the state lost almost all their crop because of flower kill. And then we had the excessively hot and very dry conditions throughout the state. So we were hit with a double whammy. And then this past winter, we've had a very long winter, which isn't bad for plants, but we had an enormous amount of snow and a lot of ice buildup on plants. So we're seeing some storm damage and snow load breakage of limbs, especially on arborvitaes.
So that's kind of look for those limbs. And what else do we see? What other signs out there are there that we've had some problems?
Well, we're seeing a lot of animal damage, especially voles underneath the snow. They're protected from predators. They're chewing on the bark, especially of certain shrubs. Same with rabbits. Rabbits absolutely love burning bush, which I somewhat call it a little bit of biological control, because burning bush can become invasive, certain cultivars. And we're seeing, you know, obviously deer damage. I'm not a turf specialist, but I've heard there's snow mold problems and other things.
Laura Joel, our guest today, as we talk with her about all those woody ornamentals, those trees and those shrubs, keeping them healthy and happy. Join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. I'm going to kind of stay away from the fruit trees, but we'll zero in on the other trees and shrubs. Certainly love to hear from you. Dan in Partyville up next. Dan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm going to start off with the big question for probably a lot of people. My arborvitae. I have one up by the house that is totally orange except for a little green down at the bottom.
Ooh.
Should I just cut it down and dig a hole?
Yeah. If it's totally orange, it's dead.
Okay, yeah. That's what I wanted to know.
Yep.
Okay, thanks a lot.
It's going to have a kind of a nice root, a pretty good root system, too.
Yeah, so it's about 6 foot tall. So.
Yeah.
And the roots will be about 6 foot deep, or it'll feel like it anyway.
Okay, thank you much.
Thanks. I don't know that they're that deep, but I remember just trying to get rid of arborvitae.
Yeah, they have a very extensive fibrous root system.
They're not any fun to get rid of, that's for sure. We have Judy and Grafton, I think, up next. Judy, hi. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Good morning. I have a white pine, and it's maybe 15 feet tall, and I planted it as a little bitty guy, and now it's looking just gorgeous, except last summer I was out there looking at it, and the tip of the tree is all crooked, and it's not straight. There's no point in the center anymore.
Yeah.
I thought maybe a bird had landed on it and broke it off. Do you think that's possible?
Yes.
Or I had read there might be an insect that attacks the tip of a white pine.
Yeah, there's two things that it could be. One is white pine weevil, which attacks the terminal shoot of white pines and causes that dieback. The other is crows. And other larger birds. I know my white pine at home, the crows have taken
they
out.
They love it.
Yeah, they did that to my spruce, too. They land on the very terminal shoot, and it's not fully lignified yet, so it's kind of bendable, and they break it off. And
I have a big, big hawk that likes to land on that tree. That's what happens.
That's probably what happens. And especially with conifers, what will happen is a lateral branch at the top of the tree will start to turn upright and assume the leader position.
Oh, I hope so. Because it's so tall, I don't know how I could get up there to tie something
no.
up. That's what I thought I was maybe supposed
no.
to do.
No.
Not a good idea.
It'll take care of itself.
Usually it does, but it takes a number of years. It's not something you're going to see real quick.
All right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Judy, for calling. Let's see. Ikas, let's turn to you next. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm calling because I have got like several fruit trees planted in our yard, and I live in Kenosha in downtown. And this summer, winter, deers actually ate the trunks of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those trees planted by my mother for her grandchildren, so when she's not around, that they will remember her when they eat the fruits. Is there a way that I can save the tree?
Okay, now, did the deer just nibble at the tips of the branches, or are you seeing trunk damage where the actual bark is ripped
off? It's actually the apple tree, the trunk completely eaten through up to the branches, and pear tree and quince still fine. I think maybe they will survive, but apple, I'm not sure.
Yeah, if usually deer will nip at the ends of the branches and eat the fruit, eat the twigs. The type of deer damage to the trunk of the tree is usually from buck rub, where the antlers of the male buck will just, he'll rub against the trunk of the tree and strip the bark off. If you're seeing chewing marks on the actual trunk of the tree, that sounds more like either rabbit or some other type of animal
yeah.
damage, voles and so on. And that's a different scenario. The best thing to do, I mean, you will have to wait and see if the tree leaves out. They may leaf out and then the leaves collapse because you have to have connection between the root system and the top of the plant for water and nutrient transport. There's enough nutrients, carbohydrates in the twigs and some water in the twigs to allow the tree to push out. But if they collapse within a week or two, then that tells you that there's no conduction of water from the root system to the top of the tree. Ways to prevent this in the future is to take some heavy steel gauge wire, like, it's not chicken wire, but the ones that are farther apart, you can wrap around the trunk of the tree, not tight against the trunk, but around the trunk to keep animals away from the trunks of the trees. We do that at the Arboretum. And that helps avoid injury to the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
But other animals can get underneath it. So you would have to use smaller dimension chicken wire so that they wouldn't be able to get through, like voles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, almost hardware cloth?
Yeah, know? That's the word I was trying to think of. Towards
okay.
the bottom of the tree
yeah.
and higher up. Well, it all depends on how much snow you get, because if you have
yeah.
deep snow, they can climb right up to it.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Good luck. Marcia in Cedarburg, hello, thank you for calling.
Hello. I have, or formerly had, a big, beautiful, burning bush, and then in the drought last year, half of it died,
yep.
but half of it thrived. What should I do?
Okay. That was very common plant that succumbed to the drought last year. I do want to let you know, burning bush are considered invasive. It's an invasive species, though some cultivars produce much less fruit, like Little Moses is one. The other one is Rudy Hag, H-A-A-G. Those two cultivars in particular don't produce as much fruit. Does your burning bush fruit heavily?
This isn't a... Am I misusing a term? It's a big bush that has red leaves.
Yeah, in the fall, right?
Right. I guess it does have berries. You're right. And you mean the berry, little berries?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Yes, it does, little bitty berries, but it's the only one.
Doesn't sound like a lot, though, if you didn't
no.
notice.
Yeah, and the reason why I asked that is if it was a heavy fruiting type of burning bush, I would personally get rid of it because the birds eat the fruit, they fly away, they deposit the seed, and up comes the plants.
Oh, okay.
In terms of your half-dead one, it's kind of a wait-and-see thing. Burning bush sometimes will come back from the base of the plant, though if it's severe enough, I would definitely prune out the dead material. And see if the plant comes back. And again, water during drought. They're a very drought sensitive plant.
There you
go. Should I prune the whole thing back and then the dead branches way down and then the other ones less? of the way down?
Yeah, I would definitely prune out the dead material. You might want to bring back some of the live material, prune it back a little bit to a side branch. I wouldn't cut it to the ground, no.
No. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Marcia. Appreciate it. And Mary in Green Bay. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I've got three peonies in my yard, and a couple of them have been here almost 10 years, and the rabbits have never touched them. And this year they have mowed off all of the bark. And I'm not sure, what do I do with it? Do I just let it see what happens, or do I trim it back? I've never cut these things, so I'm not
sure.
Yeah.
So is it at the very base of the plant?
Oh, everywhere.
Oh. So they chewed through the bark?
They chewed the bark. All that you can see is the wood inside.
Okay. That might be girdled. I would kind of wait and see if it flowers and leaves out. Okay. And if it doesn't, then your plant is dead.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. And tree peonies are so beautiful, yet so expensive.
They are.
They're not cheap.
Got like five of them in there.
No.
And it might be due to voles, too.
I don't know. It's pretty high up, some of the
yeah.
Well, we had a lot of snow.
We did. I mean, I've got some small fruit trees that have chew marks on the branches from the rabbits being able to get so high. So, yeah. But these things, they just ate everything off of it.
Wow. I've not heard of tree peonies being their favorite.
Yeah, I've never wrapped them because of that.
Yeah.
So I learned something new.
Lesson learned, Mary.
Oh, gosh. Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We finally have some open lines. Get you on, too, here pretty quickly with your call as we visit with Laura Jull, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals. That's what we're talking about with her, those trees and those shrubs. Look forward to hearing from you, the bushes, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mealer Show. Love to hear from you. Eric in Endeavor, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. Hey, listen, by listening to your program today, I know I have burning bushes and pine trees, but what exactly is a woody ornamental?
Woody ornamentals, trees, shrubs, ground covers, vines, evergreens. It's a woody plant, meaning it has secondary wood inside, and it's an ornamental, meaning it's used to beautify the landscape.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. You know, it's good to get those questions once in a while. I bet Eric is not the only one who was thinking about that, wondering about that. So thanks, Eric, for calling. Appreciate it very much. And again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Andrea on Facebook, shrubs like bridal's wreath and dogwood were damaged by rabbits over winter. Do I wait to see if those branches come back? They're only missing bark. Or do I trim them off now while I can see they're with no leaves?
Okay, it depends what type of dogwood. If it's a red twig dogwood with a real colorful stems, you can prune those back to the ground and they will come back. It's a suckering shrub. Usually I recommend removing the largest diameter branches of red twig dogwood each year, leaving the younger twigs behind because they're more colorful. the other one, excuse me, was bridal wreath, spirea. And if the rabbits have really girdled the stems, yeah, I'd probably have to cut it back to the ground, though it may not come back. They're not a super suckering type of shrub, unlike red twig dogwood. You can always prune them back and see if they come back on their own. It's kind of a wait-and-see approach. We've had a tremendous amount of rabbit and animal damage to our plants this year, mainly due to the high snow load that we've had, as well as the extended season. They're hungry.
They're hungry. Brett in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hello.
Yes, I'm calling about, thank you for taking my call. I'm calling about the Japanese beetle and the, I had the name and I forgot it, but the Japanese beetle, is there a certain trees they like better or not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Come to my yard.
Yeah,
they took a bus out to my yard and have eaten almost all my landscape plants. They really like plants in the rose family. So roses, They like cherries. They like
grapes.
Quince.
I got.
Grapes.
Yeah, and grapes, they're not in the rose family, but grapes, birches, elms, lindens, you name it. They eat a lot.
Yeah. I know. Anything they don't eat, though. That they don't like.
Yeah, there are some trees that they don't prefer. In particular, some of the viburnums, a few of them, especially Korean spice with the fuzzy leaves, they don't like them. They also don't like ninebark, you know, our eastern ninebark, some of the beautiful purple leaf cultivars. They tend to leave aronia. I haven't seen any on black chokeberry. See, in terms of trees, they tend to leave ash alone, but I don't recommend planting ash anymore for obvious reasons due to emerald ash borer.
And they hide in the ground, and then they come from the roots.
Yes, the grubs overwinter in the ground, and then the adults.
Anything we can do about them in that?
Well, you can put pesticides on your lawn to kill the grubs, though it will kill other beneficials.
It's easier than trying to kill the box stuff. I mean, the Japanese beetle.
Yeah, and personally, at my house, I pick them off. I don't apply.
What they look like? Well, yeah, I pick them off and I shake them and I got a net and I put them in a net and I get about 12 at a time and then I just crush them.
Yeah, or you could put them in soapy water that kills
the
them
soapy
instantly.
Soapy water took too long and some of them, I don't know.
Add a little bit of alcohol to it. Sometimes a little bit of rubbing alcohol to it with the soapy water will be a quick kill for the Japanese beetles.
Real quick, the box elder.
Yeah.
Anything I can do about him?
About box elder bugs or the plant?
Yeah, the box elder bugs.
Oh, yeah. I have them in my house. I don't know where they come from. I haven't opened my windows.
I had so bad that my driveway was red with babies and just covered. It was like a big moving driveway.
Yeah, I had them on the side of my garage. With box elder bugs, if you have a box elder tree in your yard, which is a native, though it's very weedy, and weak wooded, prone to storm damage. They're attracted to box elder trees. And so one of the ways to help prevent that is to get rid of the box elder, though if you live in a wooded area or near other people's homes that have box elders, it's not going to do much good. The other is getting a shop vac out and vacuuming up the insects that are inside your house. But then take the bag outside and try to get the box elder bugs in an enclosed bag because they'll fly back into your house. I don't recommend spraying pesticides myself indoors, but that's up to you. But that is an option.
Thanks very much for calling, Brett. Appreciate your call. Laura Jell, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller. Veronica Rickard, our on-air producer, here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Laura Jell, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. And for somebody with a background in woody ornamentals, today is Arbor Day, as we were talking about earlier. It's the perfect day, isn't it?
Well, it's cool temperatures, though our soil temperatures are still relatively cold. You know, it's still a good time to plant woody trees. I would probably hold off on the herbaceous perennials if they're brand new. The soil temperature is really cold still. Obviously, too early for annuals. You can obviously sow lettuce, spinach, and some of your cold crops right now as they can tolerate the cooler temperatures. But I definitely hold off on tomatoes and peppers way too early. Even though you see them for sale at the farmer's market, too early to plant them in your soil, right? I would wait until mid-May at the earliest.
How about some bare root trees now? Is this the time?
Oh, awesome time for planting bare root trees. The soils are moist. They're cool. The plant's not under drought stress right now. I personally love to plant bare root trees. It's a lot easier on my back, and it's
cheaper.
Cheaper, and often, now there are certain species that don't do well with bare root planting. But the ones that do well, this is the time of year to do it. And they often transplant better than containerized trees.
Absolutely. Bob in Lancaster, hello.
Howdy. Calling to ask, how close can one have saplings, hardwood saplings like walnut, to a septic drain field before in theory, the roots might grow out there and disrupt the pipe system.
You know, the Department of Natural Resources has a publication on plants for septic systems, mound systems. And you might just go online to their website, because Laura said she wasn't sure, and I'm not sure either. I know that prairie plants are highly recommended. Some prairie plants are highly recommended for those kinds of systems, but I don't remember about the trees. And you can get that in that publication from the DNR.
You generally don't want to plant any trees near a septic field because the roots can disturb the septic field. But like Larry was saying, prairie plants, prairie grasses, prairie flowers, they often are quite do well over a septic field.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, and then a totally different question. I've got some little trees that, say, half the side was gnawed by voles. You know, the other side, the bark is intact. Is there something like you could either put like Vaseline or a bark transplant?
Nope. Don't do anything like that. Those wound compound, tree paint stuff, they're totally cosmetic. They're not recommended at all unless you're pruning an oak or an elm during the growing season, which you shouldn't be pruning them anyways. You should be done pruning your oaks and elms. That compound that you put on wounds is actually slows down wound closure and maintains a very high humidity underneath it, making pathogens a nice home.
Yeah.
Okay. And can't do a bark transplant from
unfortunately.
Doesn't work.
It doesn't work, unfortunately, Bob. You're just going to have to watch and see what happens. Keep an eye on it. Good luck. Thank you for calling. And Dale in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thank you. We have a row of hemlocks that have been planted for about 15 years in kind of a low-light area in a city lot in northern Illinois. And we're wondering, and they've thinned out, and it appears because there's other overhanging trees that they're suffering from lack of lighting. We're wondering if you can replace them with arborvitaes with greater success.
How much shade is it?
Well, it's almost full shade, but it's not heavy. It's filtered through some elms and other sorts of trees.
Yeah. Arborvitae can tolerate partial sun, not deep shade. They will also get very thin and spindly in deep shade.
Do you have any suggestion for another species we might put there? We're using it as a border border out, you know, an apartment building or a house next door.
Yeah. Now, do you have deer problem?
No.
Okay. Then I would recommend yews or taxes.
Yews?
Yeah. Yews can tolerate deep shade. There are tree form yews as well as many shrub yews, and that provides a nice evergreen screen. But if you have deers, I would not recommend yews.
Yeah, we have no deer at all. So yews, you think, and how tall could I expect them to grow?
Well, it really depends on the cultivar. There's hundreds of different cultivars of yews practically on the market. They're not really hundreds, but there's a lot. You probably want to get some of the tree forms, some of the taller growing cultivars that are on the market. For example, the Japanese yews, smaller type, but capitata, some of the hixii, that's a shrub form, but it can get tall. I've seen it at 12 feet. The other cultivars get big. And I just go to your nursery lot and see what, you know, they, or garden center, and see what they have, and tell them you're looking for more of a tree form yew, and they should have it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Laura Jell with you to answer your questions about woody ornamentals, trees, and shrubs. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. And James in Milwaukee, you're next. Hi, James. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Good morning. I'm a couple blocks off the lake in Milwaukee, and I've got a space in my yard that's probably 30 by 40 feet, and pretty much full sun except early in the morning. And I'm looking for some kind of a kind of a woody, maybe crabapple thing that doesn't get real tall. I want to put a couple of them in to kind of privatize a patio area, mm-hmm. and I don't want like privet or a hedge. I don't want anything evergreen. Mm-hmm. But I was kind of picturing something that had kind of a woody globe shape, you know, like a well pruned apple tree, but that doesn't get too big. Do you have any particular variety or cultivar in mind that might work for that purpose?
You don't want evergreens. That would be the first thing I would say, because if you want to privatize, evergreens would do that quite nicely. But if you don't want evergreens,
I don't, no.
Okay, and you don't want a hedge, then I would go with something that has some dense foliage that can hopefully privatize your yard. If you're specifically interested in crab apples, there is a fact sheet available that I prepared on the Wisconsin Urban Hort website on recommended crab apple cultivars.
Okay. All right.
And the website is www.hort.
Okay.
.uwex.
All right.
.edu.
Got it. Thank you. Are you up on fruit trees also?
Or, no.
You know, regular production?
No, okay. It's not my specialty. But real quick, giving you a couple quick suggestions for crabapple cultures. I'm a real fan of Red Jewel because the fruit quality. Yeah, its fruit quality is excellent. I like Candy Mint quite a bit.
Okay.
Though that one's shorter and wider.
Okay. What would be the maximum mature height of something like that?
With most crab apples, it depends on the cultivar. Some get, 20, 25 feet, and others are only 10 feet. It really depends on the cultivar.
But those
are those ones that you just recommended?
Oh, those two in particular. Red Jewel get 20 feet at least, and okay. Candy Mint is, I think, around 10. It's more wider than tall.
Oh, that sounds really kind of perfect.
Yeah, and it's a really pretty flower color, too.
Candy mint. Okay.
Yes.
What about lilacs? Would lilac work?
Yeah, lilacs. You could always go with Japanese tree lilac if you're specifically looking for a tree. Though Japanese tree lilacs, I want to make very clear, are not drought resistant. We learned this last summer. They're very drought sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate the help. Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Tom in Hillsboro, your turn. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Morning.
Say, I got three spreading yews that Bambi and the rest of the family stripped over the winter, along with some white pine. I was really surprised, the young white pines, they really nibbled at them. But I was wondering if the yews would come back after having been stripped like that.
Perhaps. I've seen yews cut back severely, and they do have latent buds farther back down on the stem underneath the bark that broke, and it did come back. It took a number of years to really come back well, but if the bark is girdled all the way around the tree, it may not come back. It won't come back from the root system, but if it's just a number of twigs that have been chewed on, you can prune them back to a lateral branch, and they should sprout and fill in within the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you say next couple of years, am I going to see any apparent growth this year?
Yes.
So
yes, you should.
When would I start seeing that?
The spring, probably about June.
Okay. One other question. We feed the birds black oil sunflower seeds. And my wife is always complaining about the terrible mess that they leave on the ground. And I was wondering if they do any damage to the pine trees and the other shrubberies that we have around.
I'm not real sure.
Sure of that. One of the ways around the problem with the seeds is to buy. We have seedless, hullless mixtures. Is what we've done. We get the hull.
We buy them in bulk. They're awful expensive if you don't do it that way. And besides, the birds like to crack the seeds, So
yeah.
But the black oil sunflower shells are poisonous to many plants, and if you build up enough of them, you can damage the, you kill the plants. And we try to take as much off as we can. But I was wondering if they, you know, with damage like white pines and conifers, things like that, that we have our feeders under.
Probably not. I mean, as long as you're, if you're raking it up and getting rid of most of it, I think you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine much of a problem because it's not going to spread out from an area. I can't imagine it doing that. Jan in South Wayne, your turn. Hi, Jan.
Good morning.
Hi. What can we do for you?
My question is, I have a very healthy bridal wreath bush, and it's starting to kind of encroach over onto some other plants that I have, and I'm wondering if this is a good time of the year to trim it back, if I should trim, or what is the best way to trim it if I should be doing it this time of year.
Okay, with bridal wreath or Van Hoot spirea, that is a really pretty spirea that flowers in May, right around the 3rd to 4th week of May. You could wait until after it's done flowering to prune it. Or you could prune it now, just realize you're sacrificing some of your flowering for this spring. With that type of plant, if it's encroaching on other plants, I would take the branches back to a lateral branch or a lateral bud that goes in the opposite direction, that points to the opposite direction. So you're directing growth away from those plants.
Okay, so am I then just kind of trimming one side of it, the side that's growing towards the other plants?
If the other side is fine, then yes.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it may look a little lopsided.
Yeah.
But if it's really, it's run out of space is what has happened.
Yeah.
They get quite large.
It will, how long would that take for it then to fill back in by trimming?
On the side that you trimmed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a couple years.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. And Judy in Lodi, hello to you. Thanks for calling.
Larry.
Yeah.
Hi, Larry and your guest. I brought back from Illinois, from my great-grandma's yard, catalpa pods. And I took the seeds out, and I was wondering what time of year or how would I go about to start that?
Okay, with catalpa, I'm not sure if the seed needs scarification or not. But generally, if you plant them, many trees that have a very hard seed coat, if you plant them in the fall, they should come up in spring.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if catalpa has that very hard and penetrable seed coat or
not.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, because it's not a legume, even though it looks like a legume, but, you know, Kentucky coffee tree and honey locust also have that issue, and actually soaking it in sulfuric acid, which I don't recommend you do. That's very nasty, dangerous stuff.
So.
I don't recommend. This is something that the growers would do.
Yeah.
And you have to be extremely careful because if you get any on your skin, you'd burn your skin.
Yeah, because my daughter-in-law, she planted one when my granddaughter was, or my grandson was born. And he's 20 years old, and it's been growing, like she said, a foot a year.
Yeah.
But she can't remember how she started. And the thing is gigantic.
Yeah, I would just, you know, plant the seed. You could even do it now if you want, but it may not germinate until next year. It may germinate this year. Usually they need some type of chilling requirement over winter in order to germinate.
Okay, what about the ground? Because the ground where I'm going to try to plant it is very hard, and there was a tree there before, and the roots are still there.
When you say hard, is it like solid clay?
Probably, and there's probably numerous rocks in between, and because we've never had grass, it's where I live, and it's an apartment building,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to try to get permission from the owner to see, because it's so bare.
Yeah.
From losing that other tree.
Yeah, you got to make sure you have enough space for a catalpa tree. They get big.
I know, because the one in my great grandma's yard was over 300 feet tall when they took it down.
Whoa.
It was struck by lightning, and they had no choice but to take it down.
Yeah.
and it just said, I used to have a swing on it, and I swing, you know, and we pick up the pods, and my dad used to tease me and say, well, we used to smoke those things. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Judy, great story. Thank you so much for calling. Well, those catalpas, they'll get that big. Holy cow, that's
big.
I've
never seen one that 300 feet myself, but they can get well over 100 feet.
Pretty easy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you again for calling. Laura Jahl, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture at UW-Madison. I'm Larry Mueller on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening in on this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest, Laura Jahl, professor and extension specialist for woody ornamentals in the Department of Horticulture. Trying to stay away from fruit today or fruit trees, not really want to deal with those so much, but we would like to deal with all those other trees and bushes and shrubs. Those are all good ones that we can talk about, but we'll stay away from the flowers and the fruits and the veggies.
Flowers are okay.
Flowers are okay? Okay.
Sure.
All right. Well, Kim in Green Bay's got a question for you. Let's see what's on her mind. Hi, Kim.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had planted some nine-bark shrubs on the side of my home, and they were supposed to be of a miniature variety, and they get bigger than what I expected them to. And last year they developed, I believe, powder mildew.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if I should do something to treat that now or if I'm better off just ripping them out and moving them somewhere else.
Okay. Do you know what cultivar they were?
I don't, actually.
Okay. Were they purple leaves?
Yes, they're a dark purple.
Okay. Diablo gets quite large. Mm-hmm. That one can get it at least 12, you know, 10, 12 feet. I've seen them that big.
Mm-hmm.
There's a new cultivar out called Little Devil, and it is a little devil. It is darling. It is so cute. And that's a purple leaf one with small leaves. It's smaller than Summer Wine, which is another smaller cultivar. But okay. My summer wine at home can get 6 feet tall, easy, whereas Little Devil is about a 3 to 4 footer, and it grows slower. It has shorter internodes, purple leaves. It's a new selection from Dr. David Zlisak. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. He's from the University of Wisconsin in River Falls. And it was released through Bailey Nurseries, and it's a very nice plant. Now, when it comes to culture of Diablo 9 bark, they absolutely must be put in full sun with good air circulation. If you put them in stagnant air where there's not a lot of wind movement or in shade, they will get powdery mildew.
Okay. So am I able to move them? Will they survive if I dig them up and move them to a
If you do it like right now before it leafs out, but as soon as it starts pushing its buds, do not move it until the leaves have fully developed. Then you can dig it. But don't dig any plant if it's starting to leaf out.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. And to treat the powder mildew, is there a good way to do that to prevent it from happening? Or do I just treat it if I happen to see it?
Yeah. It's preventative. And basically Brian Huddleston has a fact sheet on powdery mildew on the Plant Disease Diagnostic website. And you can get to it through the Department of Plant Pathology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And the Plant Paths Department is www.plantpath, it's one word, plantpath.wisc.edu.
Okay.
All right.
And they're preventative sprays you can use. And also, one quick thing, pruning, opening up the plant, allowing some good air circulation in there. But if it's a continual problem, I'd probably replace it with something else. And if you don't want something to get over 6 feet tall, choose like Little Devil or Summer Wine, though Summer Wine can get up to 6 feet.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Jean had, let's see what she's probably emailed us. We have 5 rose bushes that we need to move. Is now a good time to do that? And what's the best process to do that?
If you do it now, I would do it very soon because, again, if it's starting to push those buds and it's starting to leaf out, that's too late. And you would have to wait until the plant is fully leafed out, which then, you know, we enter summer, you enter periods of drought stress. If you were to, you would hand dig it and you would dig a big root ball, try to get as much of the roots as possible. Roses are finicky. And then move them to a location. Make sure they're in full sun.
They also had a weeping willow planted it 2 years ago, and a buck rubbed it, and the deer removed about half of the bark tree issue on one side of the tree. What should we do for the tree?
Well, first of all, with weeping willow, I hope you planted very far away from your house, because willows and cottonwoods and poplars, the roots will destroy your sewer pipes as well as your foundation of your house. But if you keep them far away, I'd say at least, you know, 100 feet or more from your house, they should be okay. Now, in terms of the buck rub injury, willows, it may come back. They're pretty fast growers. The wound may close over. Again, it's going to take a number of years for that wound to close over. If you still have live bark tissue on the other side of the tree that is still conducting water and nutrients up and down the tree may still be okay. But one thing about willows, very prone to a number of diseases, especially stem cankers, and you may have some canker fungi that forms on the bark.
We have Nancy in La Crescent, Minnesota waiting, so let's go to her. Hi, Nancy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because we have a large pine tree in our backyard, maybe, I don't know, 15 to 20 feet. It's and the top of the tree was knocked off by a tree that fell on it. And so the next grouping of branches, this was a couple years ago, and now the one branch has started going vertical so that, you know, I guess to compensate for the fallen top. But the next branch that's also very large and just sticks out kind of straight, I'm just wondering if I should kind of trim that back to make the tree look more symmetrical, like the way it's supposed to be for a pine tree, or just let it be.
Do you know if it's a white pine?
It's not a white pine. No, it's definitely not a white pine.
Okay. Well, that lateral branch is turning upright. That's assuming the new leader, and that's good. Yeah. We want to see that. Now, the lateral branch that's fairly large, I personally wouldn't prune it back, because all the growth occurs with pines right at the tips of the branches. So by pruning the branch way back, you're going to have a dead twig, basically, over time. Now, if you prune it back to a lateral branch, say there's other branches farther back down on the stem, you can do that. But, you know, I don't know what particular pine this is. If it's a lot of times with white pines, they'll have lateral branches farther back on the branch. You can prune it back to that. But with some other pines, they're only growing right at the tips, like an Austrian pine or red pine. And you wouldn't do that because there aren't lateral branches farther back.
Yeah, I think it's definitely not a white pine. I think it might be a blue spruce. So it's that type of pine, you know. That
yeah.
Okay, that's a spruce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Different
yeah,
than a pine. If it's a spruce, no, that's okay. If it's a spruce, you can prune it back to a lateral branch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Good.
Thanks, Nancy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And I think Mike has a question relating to blue spruce, too. Mike in Madison. Hi, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Sure. I got a blue spruce 20 years ago from the Arbor Society on Arbor Day, and it's doing great. But I've heard you guys talk other times recommending blue spruce not so much for this area. It's not a very good tree for this area.
Right.
Are there special things I should do to make sure that my tree keeps doing well?
Well, blue spruce is native to Colorado, where the humidity is low, and they do very well out there. And here in Wisconsin, in the Midwest, northern Midwest, we have very humid climates, and blue spruce we don't recommend planting because they are so susceptible to a number of diseases. In particular, rhizosphera, needle cast, where the needles drop off, as well as Cytospora canker. Cytospora canker, you'll start to see branches from the bottom of the tree on up dying. Rhizosphera, you'll see needles on the inner part of the tree drop, and you'll pretty soon you only have needles at the very ends of the branches and making the tree look miserable. Make sure if you're trying to protect your blue spruce, I would make sure you plant, you have it in a well aerated area where you've got good air drainage, where there isn't stagnant air, obviously full sun only. Mulch the base of the tree, but keep the mulch off the trunk. You never want mulch touching the trunk of the tree. Use about 3, maybe 4 max inches of shredded bark mulch. Underneath the tree, get rid of the grass and use mulch instead. It's much easier to mow as well as it's
My tree is right down to the ground. I mean, should I trim those branches?
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. And if the needles underneath the tree are doing a natural mulch, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. Though if you start to see thinning of branches, tremendous needle drop, especially on the inner, the inner needles are going to drop anyways. They don't last forever. But if it's like the second year needles starting to drop, then that sounds like Rhizosphera.
Too bad if it is.
Well, I don't think I have that yet.
Good.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Pam in Franklin. Hi, Pam.
Hi. Good morning, both of you. I have a question about an ornamental cherry tree that I have. It's about the main trunk is about 4 feet tall, and then I have high arching branches that were grafted onto it.
Mm-hmm.
And very early last winter, we had a main pipe leak, and the city had to come out and dig down quite deeply to fix it. And they took off 2 of the roots. And it does have little, bumps on the branches now. And we were just wondering if there's anything that we can do to give it a better chance, if it has a chance. Should we be watering it more? Should we be fertilizing it?
Okay, it sounds like were these large roots that they cut?
Well, they were about 1 inch around, 1.5 inches.
Well, yeah.
That's pretty good size.
It's good size. It's how close to the trunk of the tree?
Probably I think one was within 1 foot and the other one was probably about 2 or 3 feet.
Okay, the 2 or 3 foot one, that's better. The closer you get to the trunk, cutting the main order lateral roots or the structural roots, that's bad because you set up a system where you have more roots on one side, hardly any on the other, and the tree could fall over. It's too late now. Obviously, it happened. I just hope they use clean pruning shears and made a nice clean cut because that root will branch out and form new roots. What you could do right now, I probably would not fertilize it. It's trying to establish more roots right now, and you don't want to put a large flush of leaves on the tree at the expense of our already compromised root system. Watering, of course, though we've had plenty of water, and you're in, Franklin. Yeah, we've had plenty of water in this part of the state this spring. I would mulch the tree, get rid of the grass growing up next to the trunk of the tree. How far out you go, the wider the better, several feet at least. Use shredded bark mulch, keep it away from the trunk of the tree. Never have mulch touching the trunk of the tree. None of this mulch volcanoes I see everywhere. It's a quick way to kill a tree.
Okay.
It's amazing how much of that you see out there.
I don't know who started this trend, these mulch volcanoes, but it looks absolutely ridiculous.
It's too bad, really. Pam, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your call. You know, I was staying at a hotel in Door County, and they're...
Mulch volcanoes?
Mulch volcanoes, and I go in and say, look, I explain everything. And
they ignore you.
They politely, shake their head yes and smile. And that was, 2 years ago. And then I went back, a few months later and still there the same way.
Yeah.
It's
frustrating.
Frustrating. Francine and Franklin, hello. Francine, are you there?
Hi. Yeah. Just called me this morning and asking me about trimming her honeysuckles. Now, I recommended cutting them off last fall, I kind of consider them weeds. They're pretty hard to kill. I just mow them to the ground periodically, and they come back just fine. My question is it possible to trim those that severely in the spring, or should she just kind of thin them out and wait till the fall to really cut them back?
Okay, first thing, are these the invasive honeysuckles that you see all over the woods?
No, I don't think so.
Well, if it has the pink and or white flowers, are typically the Tartarian honeysuckle, those are invasive. I would get rid of them. I cut them to the ground and dig them up and get them out of your yard. They are extremely invasive. The birds eat the fruit. They fly away. They deposit the seed. Up comes a new plant. They're all over our understory. Same with buckthorn.
And they're terrible. So
yeah,
it's best just to get rid of them. And start all over again. Thank you very much for calling. Laura Jowell, our guest today. Laura is a professor. She's an extension specialist for woody ornamental. She's been with the Department of Horticulture for a long time now. And been
15 years.
15?
It'll be in August, 15 years.
I'm telling you.
Halfway to retirement.
Well, before she retires, she's still got 15 more years to be with us, so we'll look forward to that. Laura Jowell, our guest on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk, and what better topic to deal with on Arbor Day than trees and shrubs and other woody ornamentals. Larry Mueller here, lucky to have a guest with us today who can answer your questions about watering, fertilizing, pruning, and a whole lot more. Laura Jowell, professor and extension specialist in the Department of Horticulture. She specializes in woody ornamentals. And Laura, always great. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Larry. It's good to be here.
Appreciate it very much. You can join in if you have a question for her. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Love to have you do that as well. Susan says, I love sumac. Can I plant it or is it aggressive and spreading?
It depends which type of sumac. They all do spread. The fragrant sumac or cultivar that's commonly grown is Grolo sumac. That's more of a ground cover that's not as aggressive. But if you're planting the staghorn sumac or the smooth sumac, which both are native, those can be quite aggressive and they'll send up lots of suckers. But they're excellent for highway plantings because they can tolerate salt, heat, and drought very well.
Elsa emailed us, wonders, has an arborvitae, and this happened to my neighbor, too, here. The arborvitae had so much snow, so heavily laden with snow that it's badly bent over, mm-hmm. and this was true with our neighbors as well. Any way to salvage that tree by staking it?
My neighbor that lives behind me, she had an arborist come in because these arborvitae were at least 25, 30 feet. I mean, they were huge.
Yeah.
And she had the old banana split look where the branches flopped over from hot, heavy snow. And he got up there and physically tied the branches, brought the branches up and tied them to the main trunk to bring them up. And, within a year, the branches were on their own. They didn't have to be tied up anymore. If you're going to do that, you have to use material that is flexible, that's not going to girdle the trunk of the tree. And this may seem very weird, but I've heard that pantyhose works very well because it doesn't girdle the trunk of the tree and you can wrap it. I mean, it looks ridiculous, so you just hide it with the foliage. So nobody sees it, and it's flexible. It stretches as the tree, as the limbs get larger, but you're obviously going to want to remove it over time.
And Gordon emailed, which tree do you recommend for yards or streets these days? When friends ask, I used to recommend ash until the emerald ash borer came along. Now, the only one I can think of is hackberry.
For urban trees?
Yeah.
Oh, there's lots of good urban trees. In fact, I have a publication that's on the Wisconsin Arborist Association website. And you just Google Wisconsin Arborist Association and you look under ash replacement trees, and I have a whole list. There, I would stop planting too many maples. We have way too many maples in the urban forest, though they're lovely trees, don't get me wrong. But same with, you know, Dutch elm disease. We planted too many elms. Dutch elm disease came to town and wiped them out. Now we're seeing the same problem with ash. We planted tons of ash in our urban landscape. Some municipalities have 30% of their urban forest is just ash alone. And, you know, losing 30% of your trees, that's a huge economic and aesthetic loss. So other trees to plant besides hackberry, some of the oaks, yes, you do have acorns to deal with. I'm a huge oak fan, especially the white oak group. For example, bur oaks, swamp white oaks, chinkapin oak is one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. Other trees you can plant besides, you know, the common maple, you could do amur cork tree, a male cultivar such as macho or eyestopper. You don't want to plant the female because the female can become invasive, but the male does not produce fruit, so it can't become invasive. Bald cypress is another one. In fact, the city of Milwaukee uses it as a street tree. It's lovely. There are lindens. I would recommend more the American linden, especially American lib. I think it's American. Yeah, American century. That one in particular is more of a straight upright leader. Without tight branching, so it's better form. I'm trying to think of some others off the top of my head. There's so many. It's on my my fact sheet that's on Wisconsin Arborist website. I think it's also on the Wisconsin Urban Hort Team website, which again is www.hort.uwex.edu.
There we go. Barb in Richland, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. About the guy who had deer damage on his weeping willow tree.
Yeah.
I had the same thing happen to me about 5-6 years ago. The deer rubbed off bark on one side of the tree, and that thing has come back, and it is amazing. The bark has grown around from the back and pretty much covered up that,
yeah,
that wound. So mm-hmm. It's beautiful. It just takes time. But the other thing is I have a very beautiful Arctic willow,
mm-hmm.
huge. It's in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't prune it because I have to saw it off. Should I just cut it off and try to dig it out, or what can
okay.
I do with that thing?
Arctic willow is a shrub, correct?
Uh-huh.
That's what you have. Arctic willow is very easy to transplant. It's willows in general grow like weeds. I mean,
yeah,
they're very fast. Arctic willows, you can cut them fairly close to the ground. I probably leave a few buds behind, and they will come back. In fact, they look better when they're rejuvenated every couple years. And then if you're going to do this, I would do it now before it even flowers or leafs out. Because, again, as soon as it starts flowering, as soon as it starts leafing out, you're going to have to wait until probably June, until all the leaves are fully developed before you move it. You don't want to be moving it during leaf or expansion or flowering.
So if I don't get it done this spring, could I move it in the fall then?
Yes.
And it drops
sure.
its leaves?
Sure. August, okay. September, October would be fine.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks very much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. And Lisa in St. Germain. Hi.
Hi. I opened a small restaurant in the Saner area last year, and we were required to put in this enormous commercial septic system. So I now have the largest sandbox in Saner in the back side. And what I'd like to do is eventually develop some sort of walking garden back there, and I can throw seeds and, you know, put ground cover back there. But I was thinking bushes and stuff, I'm going to have stuff, something with shallow root systems because of the septic line.
Well, you may not have to have shallow rooted necessarily.
Well, it can't interfere with my, I've got 3 80-foot leach lines back there, and I'm pretty sure it can't have anything with a deep root system, so it won't interfere with it.
Here's what you should do. You should go online to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and
okay.
there is a bulletin about plants for that kind of situation.
Your septics.
Okay.
For your septics. And there are several really pretty prairie plants, for example, that can be planted. You can
okay.
make a very nice, I think have a very attractive situation.
Mm-hmm.
and with plants that don't require a lot of maintenance once they're established.
Right. Now, it's something kind of wild-looking, but put a little walking path through
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Like a boardwalk or something?
Yeah, see, that's nice. Perfect. Yeah. So
yeah.
Please
okay.
go to that, because it really is a very good publication.
All right. I'll do that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Lisa. Good luck with the business, by the way. Appreciate your work there. Debbie and Nina, hi.
Hi. We have a surplus of buckthorn in our backyard. We're wondering about the best way to get rid of it, keeping in mind that we have young children and we don't want to use anything too nasty.
No.
All right. With buckthorn. Buckthorn is an awful plant. The fruit, by the way, since you mentioned you have children, the fruit is poisonous.
Okay,
just to let you know right off the bat. Unfortunately, with buckthorn, even if you prune it back, it's going to come right back. And unless you can physically dig out all of the roots, which buckthorn, that's going to be a real challenge. Honeysuckle, it's easier to get rid of it by digging. But buckthorn has a pretty extensive root system, and even little seedlings trying to pull them out can be a challenge.
Right.
The best thing to do, especially in the later part of the growing season, like fall, you cut the branches all the way back to the base of the plant, and you immediately treat with a systemic herbicide, something that contains glyphosate, Garlon 4, many different products available for controlling buckthorn. I know you don't like spraying. I don't either. But when it comes to buckthorn, it's one of the nastiest invasives, because the roots are so extensive. And if you don't treat immediately after you cut it, it's going to come right back up.
And you're not really spraying. You're painting it. Typically, it's painted
on.
Yeah,
you can either paint it on or do a bark spray right around the edge of the bark, where it meets the cambium or, you know, xylem and phloem tissue, because it will come back.
And that's, but we need to wait until fall.
No, you can do it. You can do it now. It just fall is the best time, because a lot of the carbohydrates are going back to the root system.
Okay.
Plus, they hold their leaves late in fall, and they're real easy to spot.
Okay.
But if you know of where the plants are, yes, you can do it now, though it may still try to send up shoots. But you got to cut it back to the base. Immediately treat it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks very much for calling. And wouldn't hurt. Treat it now. And then you may be treating in the fall.
Again, yeah.
Yep. And Reed in Appleton. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes. How timely. Thank you so much. Two quick questions. The first, and I'll give you that, and then you can think a moment. We have a large soft maple, and I'm talking huge, in our front yard, and it is destroying, has destroyed our sidewalk 3 or 4 times now, and has now destroyed the driveway, or good part of it, so we'll have to replace that. You know, we've held off because it's such a beautiful shade tree, and it's the only shade tree on the block, basically, and we don't want to lose so much shade in front of our home, direct sun. So I think maybe there's something that could be replaced that would grow a little faster, but yet not provide that root system on the surface. And then the other question is, I'm wondering if you two folks are aware of the supposedly 150-year-old beautiful oak tree in someplace in southern Wisconsin that's going to be cut down because of road construction or something like that.
Yeah.
And also, as a woodworker, I'd like to get a piece of that tree, a small crotch or something. So there you have it. I'll listen. I'm parked on the highway, kind of, so I'm going to just listen off air here.
Okay. If one, just on the tree, if you go to Madison.com, Wisconsin State Journal has an article on that tree in this morning's paper. At least I read it in the paper. I'm sure it'll be online as well, and you could probably find out more information about the tree. Then it's a beautiful tree. The idea of taking it down is terrible, but
we got to respect our elders, our trees.
150-year-old, just beautiful tree. So, okay, now I've forgotten what the other part of the question was.
It was about replacement for his maple.
Yeah.
pretty much any tree. It sounds like, you know, with all those surface roots, it's probably a silver maple. Sounds typical of silver maple. They do have shallow roots. Now, most tree roots are within the first foot of the soil. Majority of the roots are, and they spread out. Now, if your soil is very compacted, they're going to tend to grow on the surface. So over time, you may have the same issues with your sidewalk and your driveway with any tree you plant. If you're looking for something to, if you're going to take your silver maple down and plant something else, I'd probably stay away from maples because maples in general often have shallow root systems. But again, you know, even trees that have a little bit deeper root, it's still going to be within the first foot of the soil. You know, tree roots grow like a pancake, not a carrot.
Mm-hmm.
So they spread out. They're looking for oxygen. They're looking for moisture. In terms of replacement trees, there's many available. In fact, again, I'll refer you to my fact sheet on ash alternatives because that list is totally applicable to your situation. And again, it's available on the Urban Hort Team website, www.hort.uwex.edu, as well as available on the Wisconsin Arborist Association website, which is, I think, www.isa/arbor. I wish I had that address right in front of me, but if you Google Wisconsin Arborist Association, it'll come up, and they do have that sheet on their website. Again, today is Arbor Day. Get out and plant some trees. Great time of year to plant trees. It's cool weather, cooler soil, but trees are okay with it, and hopefully they'll start growing some new roots here in May.
Absolutely. Arlen in Oconee County, hello.
Hello. I've got a question regarding buckthorn. I've got a buckthorn in my yard, and it is not invasive. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Do you know?
I mean, I've checked it against like two or three different tree and shrub books to identify it, and it's a buckthorn, and it does not spread.
Okay, but the fruit that it produces, the birds eat the fruit, they fly away, they deposit the seed. Buckthorns are very invasive. Now, there is a native buckthorn to the eastern U.S. It's Rhamnus carolinianum, though most people do not have it. I've never seen it available for sale. It's not real common. But, you know, again, buckthorn is an awful plant. It's very invasive, and it just because it doesn't spread by its roots, it spreads by its fruit.
And the problem is that it's not illegal to sell it.
Yes, it is.
It is?
Yes. It's on the NR40
then
species.
Then it should not be advertised. I think he was talking about being advertised.
Oh, it shouldn't.
Arlen, were you seeing it advertised?
No.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I don't know how it got here, but there's just the one tree that's been here for years. I mean, it's 3 inches in diameter and probably 15 feet tall.
Yep.
And there, in my whole property here, there is not another one that has come up any place.
No, but the birds fly away.
Yeah.
And they deposit the seed.
Yeah. You look for those seeds. You're going to see those seeds.
The black fruit.
The black fruit. I'm sorry. Yeah, the black fruit. And really, I know it's terrible to do it, to think about it, but you're better off getting the chainsaw.
It's not native.
It's not a native.
Very invasive.
Very, very invasive, unfortunately. Linda was considering planting a tulip tree. Will they work in the sandy soil near red granite?
Red granite?
Red granite's pretty north.
Yeah, it's too far north for tulip tree. Tulip tree is more of a zone 5.
Okay.
We can plant it here in Madison, but it really depends on the provenance. If they're seed propagated, so where the seed was collected from the native habitat, being in the plant is native all the way into Georgia. If you get it from a southern provenance, southern seed source, it won't be hardy up here. It grows, it's native in Illinois and it's native in Michigan. So you would need a northern seed source. And how do you know? Yes, the nursery, they may not even know. But it's real iffy, you know, farther north than Madison.
Margie and Kenan or Keenan? Hi, Margie.
Hello. It's Kenan.
Kenan, sorry.
Okay. I planted about seven years ago, I planted 6 black walnut and butternut trees. And the first couple of years, they would die back and took a long time to get established. Now there's 3 of them that are about 3 to 4 feet tall, but they still have little side branches about 6 inches to a foot coming up the trunk. And I was wondering if I could prune those now. And then there's one of them that has got several trunks. And should I leave, prune all but the main one?
Yes.
Or should I let it grow as a bush?
No, don't let it grow as a bush. It's okay. A tree. And what you're seeing are suckers that are coming up. I would prune those off, definitely. You need to train the tree to grow like a tree. If you grow it like a shrub, it's going to develop serious structural problems with time.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Thank you.
This time of the year?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Joan in Rudolph. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I was calling. There's something called sea berry or sea buckthorn.
Yes, sea buckthorn. Okay. Yeah, I know what that is. That is okay. Not a true buckthorn. That's in the genus Hippophaway.
Right. Yeah. So is that okay to plant? Because the... last year, because of all the low moisture, the animals finally found it. It's been producing for a couple of years, and nobody seemed to do anything with it. But then with nothing else available, they ate it. And I was wondering if I needed to cut that down or if I should leave it or could leave it.
Does it fruit?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Then you have the female. And there are some reports out there that potentially the fruit can become invasive. I personally have never seen it. It's not a very common plant. There's a male cultivar called Sprite, which is a dwarf shrub form that with gray leaves. And it's a very nice plant. Tolerates drought and salt like you wouldn't believe. And that doesn't produce fruit. But the one that you have is beautiful orange fruit. Birds right. do like them. Apparently you can eat them. I don't know. I've never tried them. I rarely see the plant.
Yeah.
But I would be careful. It may have some invasiveness tendencies, though I'm not positive on that.
Mm. Yeah, you got to have a male and the female.
Yeah, it's dioecious. So if you're seeing fruit, then you must have... what a lot of nurseries will do is they'll graft a male onto a female to ensure pollination.
Yeah.
So a male's nearby.
Thanks again, Joan. A couple of callers were saying there's a difference between the male and the female buckthorn. The female's the one with the berries.
But the male sends up suckers all over the place.
Yeah.
They're both. Get rid of them. Buckthorn's horrible.
And on that happy note, Laura, thank you.
Yeah, go out and plant some trees. It's Arbor Day.
It's Arbor Day. A great day to do it. Appreciate having Laura Gell with us. Laura, professor, extension horticulturist at the UW-Madison. She specializes in woody ornamentals, and I'm sure she's going to be back, and we'll talk with her again about woody ornamentals. And just to let you know, Monday we'll talk about a book, Storm Kings, The Untold History of America's First Tornado Chasers, followed by our weather guys. They'll be joining us, too. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.